we have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Well, the rapture is one of those things that you must be prepared for in order to participate in. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind. And we want people to be prepared, because when he shouts our name, we're going to be out of here. But if your name can't be shouted, you're going to stay here. And then you go through all the traumas of the tribulation period.
That's the voice of Bible teacher and best-selling author Tim LaHaye. He wrote a series of novelized versions of his end times theology called Left Behind that were all the rage in evangelicalism, and still in a lot of ways, his version, and he shares it with many other evangelical teachers, his version of the end times scenario centers on what he was just talking about there, a secret rapture. Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 24, but concerning that day and that hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven or the Son, but the Father. And then he talks about this odd occurrence where someone is taken and someone is left behind. Tim LaHaye says, well, the Christians get taken in the secret rapture, and everybody else gets left behind. And then everybody does know the day or the hour because, at least according to their theory, then the days are numbered, literally numbered, until Christ's return. Does that take the context of Jesus' words in Matthew 24 fully into account? Joining us to respond to evangelical proof text here on Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 24th, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he's editor of Around the Word Devotions. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
Does the typical evangelical reading of this Matthew passage, which is, we'll get into more of it in just a minute, but which is essentially two men will be in a field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. Does their reading of the secret rapture there take the context of Jesus' words into account?
I think this interpretation of these words takes it perfectly out of context. In fact, I think that might be the most illustrative thing to looking at these verses, is not only to see how they're just wrong, and the theology that the evangelicals use to teach from these verses is totally wrong, and in fact the opposite of what it says, but then to see how the whole thing works, how they're able to reach this conclusion in spite of the fact that the text, both before and after these verses, would help us to understand them clearly. In fact, the example that Jesus gives about, so just as it is in the days of Noah, so it'll be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, so the example that Jesus uses to illustrate, and then the conclusion that Jesus comes to in verse 44 are both militated against by the evangelical interpretation.
Okay, so first of all, tell us what the secret rapture teaching is, what role this passage generally plays in that evangelical complex of ideas.
Yeah, this phrase, left behind, which was the name of this series of books from, I don't know, 20 years ago, the Left Behind series, books are about it now. The movies are coming out, although no one apparently goes to watch them. And the best thing to come out of the rapture doctrine is a number of witty bumper stickers. I think that's probably its legacy that it'll leave in the church once we kind of come to our senses and realize that this is a false doctrine. But the bumper sticker which says, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned, And then my favorite is the T-shirt that says Bachelor to the Rapture. That's a good one. But the teaching is that there will be a time 7 years before the second coming when Jesus will zap all of the Christians out of the earth. Poof, gone. And apparently what that zapping is that Jesus will come halfway to the earth and he'll zap the rest of the Christians out of the earth so that God can go back to dealing with his people Israel. In fact, the theology behind the secret rapture is quite a complex system of understanding all of the scriptures called dispensational premillennialism, which holds to a distinction between Israel and the church. It misreads almost all of biblical prophecy. And it basically says that because God has unfinished business with Israel according to the flesh, the nation of Israel, he has to take the church out of the way to finish his dealing with Israel. And so the rapture is that mechanism that the Lord uses to clear out the Christians so that he can go back to taking care of Israel.
I mean, it's a little crass, but I think it is accurate to say that in that dispensational theology, the church, such as we know it, the Christian church that is, well, we would say has existed since Adam and Eve, but the dispensationalists would say has existed for 2,000 years, is a stopgap measure because it didn't work the first time.
Oh, yeah. No. A lot of the early dispensationalists, so Charles, who was this? Scofield, who wrote it as reference Bible, plainly said that the church is plan B, so that God came, Jesus came. Now, this has been modified, so there's modified dispensationalists, and not a lot of the dispensationalists like that this is how they got started, but that Jesus came to establish an earthly kingdom, and when he was rejected by the people of Israel, he said, well, what am I going to do now? And the answer was, well, I'll die on the cross and save the world. So that because the people of Israel rejected Jesus, he went to plan B, which was to die on the cross for our salvation. So the church is plan B, and the church is the spiritual people, while Israel is the earthly people. The church has spiritual promises, while Israel has earthly promises. This is how the dispensationalists talk. And so, but when plan B is over, and they will call it. In fact, I remember listening to all these dispensational guys, and they would talk about how the moment Jesus died, or really before that, the moment Jesus was rejected at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the prophetic stopwatch stopped, and there was a pause in prophetic time while God could deal with could do his church stuff, and then when the rapture happens, that clock starts again.
So it's a really, really important event in Pop American Evangelicalism, or
oh, yeah.
So they believe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's amazing to me that, you know, you get the evangelicalism, which says no creed but the Bible, and it really is very resistant to creating statements of faith. I mean, when the Baptist Faith and Message came out in 2000, it was this huge deal because, hey, we don't do this. We don't write confessions. We're not like the Lutherans and all those other guys that do this. But when you go and sign on to the evangelical web pages and see what the churches believe, they might have something about the Trinity. They surely have something about the Bible, but then they normally have three or four things about the end times, including the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, the earthly millennial kingdom, and all this other stuff. And it's amazing that these things, which are we would not consider to be major doctrine, I mean, surely that Jesus is coming again is a major doctrine, but all the details of this, we would not consider them this way, they really make articles of faith.
Now, the Christians are taken out of the world, the rest of the world, are they given a second chance, or is it just now the clock is ticking on their inevitable destruction? I've never understood that completely.
Second chance, of course, second chance. I remember one time, I might have told you this story a long time ago, but I've forgotten it until just now. I remember one time when I was just kind of the blinders were starting to come off of this my dispensationalism. I knew what it was called, and I was trying to sort it out, and I mean, I learned that the Lutherans didn't believe in the rapture. I almost laughed, but I was wrestling with some of this stuff, and I went to do an experiment, and I was walking around the Calvary Chapel in Albuquerque, and I was asking people this question: if you had only two choices, you could only be Catholic or Jewish, which would you be? And I surveyed, I'm sure it was a scientific sample, probably at least 20 people, and every single one said, oh, Jewish, of course, Jewish. It was amazing that you realize that Jewish people don't believe that Jesus is God, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I got an insight into why this is. There was two couples, two guys and two girls. They were walking, and I asked them, and the girl on the end said, I'd rather be Catholic, of course. And she said, and the rest looked at her like she was crazy, and they said, no, we'd be Jewish. And she said, why? The Catholics believe in Jesus, at least. And then the guy standing next to her explained it this way. He said, yeah, but Jesus is coming back, and after he raptures the church, he'll show himself to Israel, and all the Jewish people will become Christian. And she said, oh, yeah, that's right. Put me down as Jewish. I mean, this is the understanding that the Lord has more of a place for the nation of Israel than he does for Christians who are, I mean, for Roman Catholic Christians, for example.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. We're responding to evangelical proof texts on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 24th, Matthew 24, beginning at verse 36. We'll get into the text and the greater context when we come back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300.
Two men walking up a hill, one disappears, and one's left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about one of the primary proof texts in evangelicalism for the secret rapture. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. During the season of Lent, the theme of his great devotionals, Around the Word devotionals, are the penitential psalms. These are those psalms that are, well, they are what they sound like. They are confessions of sin, a perfect way to spend your devotional time during the penitential season of Lent. You could find out more about the Around the Word devotions under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Wolfmiller, let's go into the text itself of Matthew 24 and keeping these words of Jesus, this, you know, walking through a field, grinding at the mill, keeping those things in their context, what is he really talking about?
Well, if we can read, so the words especially where Jesus is comparing the two men in the field and one's taken, the other's left, that's verse 40. Two women are grinding, that's verse 41, one's taken, the other's left. The verses immediately before that, starting in verse 36, Jesus says this: "But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." So Jesus is teaching the suddenness, the unexpectedness of the end times, and especially the suddenness for the unbelieving world. So that people were marrying, giving in marriage, they were plotting their future, they were planning for the days to come, and yet the floods came suddenly, without warning, and at least, you know, not with warning that they believed, and took all of the unbelievers away. Now Jesus says, immediately after that, then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, and the other left. Now, if you just ask this simple question, when Jesus is talking about the flood of Noah, who is taken and who is left? The answer is the people that were taken were the unbelievers. Those who didn't listen to the preaching of Noah, believed that God's wrath was ready to be revealed upon the children of men, and therefore kept living like they were living. And in the days of Noah, who were the ones that were left? Well, that was Noah, his wife, his three children, and their three wives, eight souls in all, saved in the ark that God commanded Noah to build. Those are the ones who are left behind. So that when Jesus says two are taken, or two men are in the field, one is taken and the other is left, well, which would you rather be, the one that's taken or the one that's left? To be taken in this verse is not to be taken up to heaven and rescued from God's wrath, like the rapturists believe. To be taken is to be taken away in judgment. And to be left is to be spared that judgment by the forgiving mercy of the blood of Jesus.
So that alone, I mean, we're just talking about the immediate verses preceding this, linked together by, so it will also be when the Son of the Man, when the Son of Man comes. That alone makes it impossible to get a secret rapture of the church out of these verses.
That's right. I mean, if you did have a secret rapture, it wouldn't be called left behind. It would be it would be taken away. I mean, that's what it means to be taken away in judgment. And the ones that are taken are the ones in judgment. So the only way you get a secret rapture out of this church is first by completely stripping it of its immediate and obvious context. I mean, this verse is so obvious. And then second, bringing to this verse some sort of alien theology that you're just looking for words to embrace and wrap around, but you don't have it in the text.
And so this is not about, and I'm here, we're going to the later context in verse 44, "Therefore you must also be ready," which is a big emphasis of the secret rapturists.
Mm-hmm.
"For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." He isn't talking here about some pre-coming rapture. He's talking about the second coming of Jesus, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. And this is a particularly important point. The scriptures teach the imminence of Christ's coming. That it could be at any moment, that there's no promise yet to be fulfilled, so that the church is always living in readiness. Now, the doctrine of the secret rapture completely destroys that. I mean, first it destroys it by saying there's any number of things that have to be fulfilled before the rapture happens. There has to be the one world government, and everyone's got to get a microchip in their forehead, and you have to have the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, and whatever else is in the news. All these things have to be fulfilled Bible prophecy, which means that if Jesus wanted to come 1,000 years ago, he couldn't have done it because the nation of Israel hadn't gone back to Mount Zion, you see? I mean, it completely destroys the imminence. And then it destroys it in the second way by saying that the rapture will occur 7 years before the second coming. So anyone who can just count 7 years will actually know the precise day and time that Jesus will come back, if they just look at when the rapture occurred. And so it is a double assault on the doctrine of the imminence of Christ. And in this way, it destroys the Christian's readiness. See, it's amazing to me that the doctrine of the rapture, which is given to the church so that we would be ready for the second coming, in fact does the opposite. So I don't know how many people I met. I mean, I told you the conversation I had with that couple. Would you rather be Roman Catholic or Jewish? I'll be Jewish because then the rapture happens and then I become a Christian. so that they're putting off trusting in Christ or being baptized or whatever, because they're going to be able to see if God proves that this is true by this rapture, and then they can become go to church and become committed Christians, etc.
Can you stick with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break?
Yeah, you got it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what happens if you take the rapture out of the average evangelical church on Sunday morning. If you take this teaching away from them, what happens to the other bigger framework of dispensationalism?
Yeah, that sounds great. The rapture is kind of the linchpin that holds this all together. But dispensationalism is a much kind of broader picture. It's not just answering the question, what will happen at the end of time? But it answers questions like, how are we saved at this time? How does God look towards us? What are the important things to consider in the church? How do we read the Bible? What parts of the scripture are for us and what parts aren't for us? How were people saved in the Old Testament? So dispensationalism offers answers to all of those questions, and most of the time, the answers are not the answers that the Bible gives, namely, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. In fact, they see the salvation by grace through faith as unique to the dispensation of the church, but not the normal way that God works.
That's a big subject. We'll need to talk about it on the other side of the break with a few more minutes with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. The danger that the teaching of the secret rapture and all that goes along with it poses to the gospel, the central teaching of Scripture. Should it surprise you folks that if you look at the old dispensationalists, the way they taught, they said, look, this teaching about salvation by grace through faith through Jesus Christ, that's not the central teaching of the Bible. It's important, but it's one among many teachings. The real central teaching, the dispensationalists, the secret rapturists say, is really how God is going to deal with national Israel in the end times. That's the real central teaching of the Bible. And believe me, some of them don't even believe you need Jesus for God to do that. It sets Jesus out of the center of Scripture and salvation by grace out of the center along with him. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and he's editor of Around the Word Devotions. After our conversation with Pastor Wolfmiller, we'll turn to two issues: the recent death penalty handed down to a Saudi man who renounced his Muslim beliefs, and the abduction of Christians in Syria by the Islamic State. Then we'll be with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus calming the storm in Mark chapter 4.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, February the 24th, a few more minutes with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, responding to evangelical proof text. Today we're looking at Matthew chapter 24, the so-called proof text for the secret rapture. One is taken, one is left. Robert Spencer will join us from Jihad Watch in a few minutes. We'll talk about the death penalty being given to a Saudi man for renouncing Islam and the abduction of even more Christians in Syria by the Islamic State. Pastor Tom Baker will join us after that to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus calming the storm in Mark chapter 4. Brian, you wouldn't think that it wouldn't, it just most people wouldn't think that misinterpreting two little verses like this would have the potential, if not the certainty, of displacing the gospel in a Christian's theology. But you say it does. Explain how it works.
Well, that's right. I mean, I suppose that, I mean, if you just are reading along in the Bible and you got everything else right and you get these verses wrong, then it's not going to, you know, the whole car is not going to fall apart if one screw comes loose. But these screws are loose because the whole thing has already fallen apart. And in evangelicalism, you have this monstrously bad habit of proof texting, taking texts out of the context and making them fit into your preconceived notions of the text. And this is just a primary example of that. But what dispensationalism does, which is the bigger picture of getting these two verses wrong, is it completely confuses law and gospel. In fact, you know, we Lutherans say that the distinction between law and gospel, and that is basically knowing that God in some places speaks, gives us commands to do, and those commands show us our sin, and then in other places gives us promises to believe, and that the Bible is divided into those chief main words. That distinction brings such beautiful clarity to the Scripture. And now all the Bible becomes open to us, an open book. Well, the dispensationalist has a distinction. It's not the distinction between law and gospel. It's a distinction between Israel and the church. So that this verse is about Israel, and this verse is about the church. This verse is about the Jewish people, descendants of Abraham. This verse is about Christian people who've made a decision for Christ. And that distinction completely obliterates the distinction between law and gospel and ends up with utter confusion in every place of the Scripture. So that now, I mean, I remember, and this is just an example, but I remember sitting in a service where the preacher taught us that the Lord's Prayer wasn't to be prayed by Christians because it belonged to the old dispensation. It was a Jewish prayer, and that we'd pray it again in the millennium, but it wasn't for us to pray now. I mean, that's kind of utter, disastrous confusion comes in dispensationalism. And it makes the whole, it's like putting Vaseline over your eyes when you're reading the New Testament. So that all the questions about can the grace of God be for the Jewish people and for the Gentiles, and all of these questions begin to become confused and muddled, all because you're reading the Bible with a newspaper in front of it, trying to figure out when these prophecies are being fulfilled.
I mean, not to mention the fact, Brian, that if a Christian is a dispensationalist and he's consistent, many of them aren't, he has to come to the conclusion that the Old Testament does not apply to him in any way whatsoever. He might not... Why even bother reading it, except for maybe right. little moral examples, which is what they end up doing, right?
Right. Moral examples, or you pull out the nuggets of prophecy that we're speaking of something to come, and if you want to find Jesus there, it's not in actual person, but it's simply by picture or type or shadow. But Jesus is not there. So when we say, you know, who was there walking with Adam and Eve in the garden, they can't say that was Jesus. Or who was in the burning bush talking to Moses? That's not Jesus. That was the Father's dispensation. Jesus doesn't come till later. And so you get a book where Jesus is scarcely mentioned, and that is not the Bible.
So finally, what is Jesus describing there when he says, one will be taken, one will be left in Matthew chapter 24, with about a minute here?
Now, this is the hard truth, that when Jesus comes, it will be suddenly... no one knows the day or the hour, so that's true, and that it will come with great division and judgment, so that day will be a day of dividing the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares, the good fish from the bad fish. This is the theme that runs all through these verses. The believers from the unbelievers, those who trust in the blood of Jesus and those who do not. And while Jesus lets us all live together in this earth now, when he comes, that great division will occur. And those who do not believe in him will be sent to the place that was never intended for them, the lake of fire that God built for the demons in his eternal wrath. But those of us who are ready for his coming by faith and who trust his word, who know that in spite of our sin we are loved by God because of the death of Jesus on the cross, that day is the ushering in of the greatest and most marvelous thing that we could ever imagine. I mean, that is the day that we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the day that our sinful nature is completely stripped away from us, and we're able to gaze upon Jesus and the Father and the Spirit face to face and not be destroyed. That is the day of our longing, when when we sit on the lap of our Lord and have every tear wiped from our eyes, when we are completely clothed in his righteousness. And Jesus says, be ready for that, because it is any moment. And when you hear the noise of it, lift up your head, because for you, dear saints, for those that trust in the Lord's word, it is our redemption drawing near.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He co-hosts a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio. He edits the Around the Word devotions. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
You got it, Todd. Thank you.
Folks, if you appreciate teachings like this, and this really is the strength, the backbone of Issues Etc., you do not want to miss this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's Friday, June the 19th and Saturday, June the 20th, right here in Collinsville, Illinois. Speakers at the conference will include Dr. Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, Jonathan Fisk, Chris Roseborough, Dr. David Menton, and Pastor Will Whedon. The registration for the conference is $100. That includes meals Friday night and lunch and dinner on Saturday. You can find out more about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 19th and the 20th, here in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org, or just call Craig, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or send Craig an email, craig@issuesetc.org. When we come back, Robert Spencer will join us to talk about the death penalty of a Saudi man who renounced Islam and the abduction of Christians by ISIS in Syria. Stay tuned.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, The Psalms, using modern English and more contemporary musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org. Or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, the new Concordia Psalter.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.